pray for you. Father, we thank you for Andrew. We thank you for the calling upon his life. Father, we pray that as he speaks to this word that you have given us today, that, Lord God, the preparation that he has made in this passage, Father God, that you give him utterances by your Holy Spirit. And as you speak, Father, through him, may you open our ears to hear that which you have in store for us. Whether we have heard this passage for the first time today or whether we have heard it several times before, may we hear new things from you today as you speak through your servant, Andrew. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I've had a slightly interesting week, slightly different from the normal week, because I've had somebody on work placement with me. Yeah, that does sound, someone work, yeah. Dime, so hail. Dime, would you just like to give everybody a wave? Yeah, there he is. So, part of our week, I mean, we've been looking at different things, visiting people, going to all the groups that happen on, in the life of the church during the week. But we've also been looking at this text this morning and working on it together. So if there are any mistakes, they're all dimes, all right? No, they're probably all mine, actually. Okay. Fantastic. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. It's such a practical, amazing book. You're such a great God that you've sent us your word that we can understand. And we thank you, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit to understand your word when we come to faith, a living faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When I was growing up in North London, I sadly became one of those people who thought South Londoners were a bit different. In fact, many North Londoners think South London is like a foreign place, and I'm sure vice versa. Looking back, this is just so weird and completely irrational. I suppose if you get used to living in a certain place, anywhere else is a bit foreign until you either move there or make friends there. Well, one day during my curacy in Chislehurst, I realised that I had moved from north of the river to south of the river. Now, you might have thought this might have occurred to me on the process of moving, but it completely had gone out of my mind. I was so caught up in all the logistics of moving and moving to this church, I completely forgot, just didn't realise I'd moved south of the river. I now had to use the South Circular rather than the North Circular. I now had to use southeastern trains rather than the Northern Line or the Piccadilly lines. Do you know what the strange thing is after this realization? I realized that the people were just the same as North London. They even spoke English south of the river. Well, actually, South London English, to be more correct. But please don't get me on moving into Kent and moving down the A2 and the M2. Can you move it on for me, please? Thank you. This morning we are going to meet a woman who encounters Jesus at a well. She grows in knowledge of Jesus. She's offered living water, and then she goes to tell her community about Jesus and brings them to meet him. It's working now. Oh, cool. Just about. In our account today, we hear that the Pharisees had noted that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist. Actually, the Bible tells us that it was Jesus' disciples who were doing the baptizing, not him. So to get away from the powerhouse and the controversy around Jerusalem, Jesus decided to go with his followers from Judea in the south of Israel back up to Galilee in the north. Now, in order to get up there, they had to go through Samaria, an area that strict Jews would not go through. You see, about 500 years previously, Babylonians had taken some Israelites into exile. And some of the Babylonians had stayed and intermarried with some of the Jews who were left. Strict Jews did not see them as pure Israelites and would not associate with them. So, to illustrate this prejudice, I thought I'd do something a little bit different this morning. I thought I'd put on a really classy football shirt. Yeah? Does anyone recognise the colour? Yeah? Yeah? Can you see it's red? Yeah. Any idea what team it represents? I'm not having any of that. We're in church. We're supposed to be nice to each other. So, yeah, I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt. Now, I'm not naive enough to think not everybody likes the Arsenal. So, can we have this one on? So, Dime, would you like to come up? Dime, what have you got on, man?
You're Tottenham Hotspur shirt.
Now, hold on a second. There must be some gooners in here today. Come on, gooners. A few, but it seems that there's more Spurs fans in this church. Do you know what? When Martin told me about this church, he didn't tell me about the Spurs fans. He didn't mention that. But anyway, Dime, surely, Arsenal's a much better team, isn't it, than Tottenham? Is that right?
No, that's not true.
What do you mean it's not true? Haven't Arsenal won more trophies than Tottenham?
No, they haven't, and we have a better squad, better manager, bigger stadium, and we're one of the most richest clubs in the world. And
really?
Nothing.
So, we were talking about this, that money doesn't make a great team, though, does it?
I mean, it's part of what makes, you know.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you think? Is it really worth all this kind of bickering and rivalry between football teams? What do you reckon? Is it really worth it?
No, I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's a bit of fun, but it's not all based on truth, is it, really, you know? Well, not for everybody, anyway. All right, Dime, thanks a lot, mate. You can sit down. So there we go. We're illustrating there, you know, the differences that we have in our culture, things that we are precious to us, and I get it, you know? I mean, being from North London, you know, I had a dad who was a gooner, and I know all about the rivalry between Arsenal and Tottenham. Again, it's really illogical. When supporters put each other down, when both teams, you know, most of these teams are really good and really successful. So Jesus and the disciples are on their way up north, and they go through Samaria. And they come upon a town called Sychar, near a plot of ground where the patriarch Jacob had bought a piece of land 2,000 years before Jesus' birth. And also, they had dug a well there. This land belonged to Jacob, and he gave it to his son, Joseph. And we read about this in the book of Joshua. And we also read that Joseph's bones were buried there after he died. So this is a special place with a special well. And we hear that Jesus is tired from his journey, and he sits at this well in the middle of the day when the sun is at its most powerful. We then hear that a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Now, under normal circumstances, no one would have been out collecting water at noon. No, they would collect it early in the morning when it was nice and cool. So John is making a point here that this woman comes when nobody else is around. And we hear why later on. And Jesus asks her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, knowing the way Jews and Samaritans felt about each other, she says, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then Jesus replies with these words, possibly the most important in our reading. "If you knew the gift of God And who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I think Jesus is a bit cheeky. Why does he not just say to the woman, let's not worry about all this prejudice between Jews and Samaritans. I'm very thirsty. You have a bucket, please dip it into the well so that I can have a drink. So I can meet up with my mates later on and we can carry on our journey up north. No, Jesus starts to talk about living water. What is this living water that he is talking about? We're going to find out in a few minutes. This woman has encountered Jesus, but she does not know who he is just yet. Now, the woman needs to grow in her understanding of who this man is, who can give living water. The woman responds by saying to Jesus that he has nothing to draw his water with. And who does he think he is, saying he can give living water? Is he greater than the great patriarch, great hero of the faith, Jacob? Jesus says this to her. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Dime, can I ask you to come up again? Would you like to pour yourself a glass of water, please? Would you like to take a sip? How does that taste?
Really refreshing.
How refreshing?
Really, really refreshing.
Is it really? Do you think after maybe 4 hours of, you know, walking in really hot temperatures, you'd be really desperate for a drink?
Yes, I would, indeed.
Would that be just what you needed?
Yes.
Do you think anybody else? Just have another sip, Tom. Go and have another sip. As you see Dime enjoying that glass of water, does that make anybody thirsty? Are you starting to feel thirsty?
Yeah.
You weren't even thinking about it a minute ago, but now, should we enjoy it? That's good, isn't it? Thank you, Dime. Cheers. Jesus is saying, he offers the greatest gift any human can have. And that is a living relationship with God, our Father in heaven. We can truly be connected to the Creator of the universe. We can know in our innermost being that we are unconditionally loved by God. That as humans, we have a purpose to learn and experience life in all its fullness. And best of all, we don't just evaporate and disappear when we die. We get to have eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth. I remember about a year after I became a Christian, my parents had a party at home with lots of their old friends. People that I'd grown up knowing. They knew me before I was born, or they knew my parents before I was born, if you get what I'm saying. People who were reasonably intelligent and smart, and people that I really respected. And I asked one couple that I'd known for years, I asked them if they believed there was anything to look forward to after we die. They said no. I asked, do you think that nothing happens to us after we die? They were emphatic. They said, absolutely not. And they looked at me like, how can you believe such nonsense? They gave me that look. Have you ever had that kind of look from people when you're sharing your faith and people are a bit confused? I remember right now, I remember exactly how I felt at that moment. I felt gutted. Where was their hope? What were they living for? I felt real sadness that they had nothing to look forward to, just dead to the idea that there could be life after death. All the pain, brokenness, hurt, war, famine, lawlessness, fear, and worry will all disappear in the new heaven and the new earth. We will get to be with God for eternity. There will be no barrier between us and God if we choose to follow Jesus today and in the future. Is that something we think is worth looking forward to? Does that sound like living water to you? Yes? That's what I thought. And then the woman starts to get intrigued. She asks for some of this living water. But before she can have any, she needs to sort out her great barrier, her husband's. Jesus tells her to go and get her husband. She tries to make out that she has no husband. And then Jesus says, "You have 5 husbands." And then the man she is with now is not her husband. A bit confusing, really. Jesus has exposed her great weakness and the reason she has to get water from a well at midday when there's no one else around. This woman is an outcast from her community for having so many relationships with so many men. Instead of embarrassment and shame, the woman thinks, "He must be a prophet for seeing right into my life. In fact, it was the Holy Spirit that had revealed these things to Jesus." This woman is growing in understanding of who this man is who's sitting in front of her. And then Jesus and the woman start to have a discussion about what worship and where this must happen be, either on a mountain in Samaria or in Jerusalem. Jesus then, again, strips away all the baggage between Samaritans and Jews. In fact, all the people, as he says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him worship in spirit and in truth." I wonder what this woman would be thinking. She's probably thinking to herself, "I only came out to get some water. And then I meet this Jew who talks to me, asks me for water, says he can offer living water, exposes my deepest sin with a word of knowledge, and then lectures me on worship. Imagine being told what Jesus has said to her, 'But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.'" She has not run away. She has got closer and closer to the kingdom. And she says, "I know that Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Can you imagine what it must have been like at that moment? Maybe some of us have had that experience when we have truly, truly realized who Jesus is and what he has done for us. She has made it. Here he is. Here is the Messiah. This has really messed up her day, really disrupted her day. But isn't that what God is like? Doesn't God disrupt our lives? Yeah? We might have plans for our lives, but God has better plans, plans we could never imagine. This woman has grown quite a lot in just a few minutes. Now what? the woman has to go. We hear that many Samaritans believe in Jesus because of the testimony of this woman. So the woman goes back to her local town and tells everybody, including her five husbands, about the man who offered her living water. The woman must have been very convincing, bearing in mind that she was probably an outcast of the town. Maybe the people had seen change in her character. So she goes to her town and she shares the story. And we hear that many come out to meet with Jesus. And they convince him to stay for 2 days. I can just imagine what the disciples were thinking when they get back to Jesus with their lunch. Oh, here we go again. We just leave Jesus for an hour next to a well, and now the whole village is coming out to see him, and they even want us to stay. What about our trip up north? I think we can only imagine what joy there would have been. Someone even says to the woman, they say, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Many from the village encounter Jesus for the first time. Many grow in their faith for the first time so that they may go with the message they have received. So this week, Dime and I have been talking about the scripture and what it means. And so I thought it'd be really interesting if I asked Dime about what it means for us to go and tell people about Jesus. Dime, would you like to come up and join me? So, Dime, what do you think? Why is it important for us to go and tell people about Jesus? Why do you think it's important?
So in the Bible, there are many references that support this. So in the Bible, there are many scriptures that support this. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," which was the Great Commission. And then he says in Mark 16, verse 15, that "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And he says that if you love me, then you will do as I tell you to do. So if Jesus has given us this command, so we should do this. And also he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 16, that "Let your light shine before others so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And that light can only shine if we share Jesus, who is in our hearts, to others. Because this world is in darkness and they need the message of hope and love. And Jesus has said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Meaning the fruit of the gospel being preached, you know, the miracles, you know, the salvations, it is in a huge number, but we are the hindrance towards it because we are not going out. We are not preaching the gospel to others. So we should go out knowing that the Spirit is with us. We should boldly preach the word.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Amen. Did you hear that, everybody? Praise the Lord. So, Dime, not all of us might find this really easy, okay, sharing our faith with people. Have you got any hints, any kind of advice you'd like to give us about, you know, sharing our faith and helping people come to faith in Jesus?
So what I would say is that you should pray about this and ask the Holy Spirit for his guidance and for his will in your life. And then what I would say is that you should always start off by sharing your testimony of how you were before Christ and how your life has changed. And you should share the love of God that you have experienced in your life. And also there's a scripture that says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "But the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So we should know that we have the Holy Spirit in us and now we just have to, you know, speak and go out. And yes, and we should just always pray about it before taking any step or any action, you know, towards sharing the word.
I'm so glad you mentioned prayer. Because as Barbara says, prayer is the engine room of the church. Mm. And when we gather together, the engine becomes more powerful, I think. Do you think so? Do you reckon
yes.
it's more powerful when we come together? It's like our worship this morning. You know, when two or three of us come together to worship, it's great. When 30 of us come together, it's even better. When there's 100 of us worshiping the Lord, aren't we encouraged? Are you encouraged when there's more of us in the church?
Yeah,
we are, aren't we? We're lifted by the praises of the Lord.
Amen.
So, Dime, it's all very well talking about this in theory, but have you ever done this yourself? Have you ever shared your faith with other people? Yeah?
Yeah. I've shared it with all my friends.
Have you?
Yeah.
So all your friends know that you're a Christian, do they?
Yes, they do.
They do. And when you get opportunities, you try to share bits and pieces with them?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Why don't we encourage Dime? Come on.
So this morning, we have thought about how a Samaritan woman encounters Jesus and how he asks for water, but ends up offering living water. And then we see how this woman finds out about the water that Jesus offers will become a spring that will well up to eternal life. As she grows in her understanding, Jesus reveals her deepest pain, and she thinks Jesus is a prophet. And then she finds out that he's more than this. He is the Messiah. With this new knowledge and experience, she goes to her town to tell them about Jesus, and many come out to see and hear him, and many believe. So this morning, God wants to encourage us that no matter what we have done or not done, what we have said or thought, we can encounter God. We can grow in faith and knowledge of Jesus, and we can go out and tell others. And we can only do this when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So shall we, let's wait on the Lord now. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Shall we stand? Let's stand. I don't know what's been going on in your heart and mind as we've been sharing this word together, as we journeyed on this, this reading of this Samaritan woman. This lady that was at the well, having to go out in the middle of the day so she could do it in secret without any hassle from anyone else. And then she meets Jesus, who offers her living water. And I hope that each and every one of us in this church today, and those online, know what it's like to drink the living water that Jesus Christ offers to each and every one of us. But if you're here today and you have never tasted that living water, I invite you to come forward at the end of the service and maybe chat with myself and Dime or any of the prayer ministry team. They would love to pray with you. If you want more of that living water, if you're saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can go and share the Messiah with others, so that we can see more people in a new heaven and a new earth. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we humbly come before you, Lord. None of us can do this in our own strength. None of us have the wisdom to do this on our own. We need your help. Just like we've heard from Dime about sharing his faith with his friends, Lord, we need help to share it with those people in our lives. So come, Lord Jesus.